Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting from Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. And today we have on us another special guest named Jody Shogren, who's both an artist with a medical background, who is an expert in zoology and medical illustration. And she is going to talk to us today about some of her work as an artist who is very interested in intelligent design and has done some art that has actually gained some notoriety trying to connect intelligent design and the arts. And for those listeners who follow our ID the Future podcast closely, we'll realize that this is following up with a couple of previous podcasts we've had recently talking about a new website called idarts.org that is intended to connect intelligent design and the arts. So, Jody, it's wonderful to have you on our show today.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, I'd like to first talk about a little bit about your background as an artist and also as a medical illustrator and in zoology. So, maybe first, your science background. What is your science background, and how did you get interested in science?
Well, I have a Bachelor of Science degree in zoology from Colorado State University, and I got interested in nature and science, I think, because when I was young, I was very interested in animals and sports, and I just thought that art would be a good way to put it all together. I always used to sketch and draw when I was a kid, so I got my Bachelor of Science in zoology, and then I went on for a Master of Science in medical illustration from the Medical College of Georgia.
So were you one of those kids in high school who was getting in trouble because she was doodling horses and giraffes all over her work, or were you? Was this something you did in your private time?
Oh, mostly I did it in my private time. I was pretty studious as a kid, I guess.
Okay, so you knew you had a gift in art, and you decided to go and get a master's degree in medical illustration. Did you work as a medical illustrator then?
Yes. When I got out of school in Georgia, I took a job at Ohio State University and worked in their medical illustration service unit and taught in the medical illustration program that they had at that time. And I stayed there for about a year and a half, and then I started my own business in 1981. And I was creating artwork for medical publishing companies and physicians and law firms. And I also, because I had an aviation background, I started a limited edition print series using birds and airplanes in kind of a metamorphosis theme. I started that in 1983, and I've been adding to that ever since.
So I'm guessing that that is how you opened your studios, which are called Metamorphosis Studios. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us about Metamorphosis Studios. What is the theme of your work there? What kind of work do you do there?
The Metamorphosis series, my subject matter is primarily aviation-oriented with a fairly obvious influence from my biology background. As you see, I have birds and horses and other living creatures in it. It's sort of a fusion of the organic and the inorganic worlds. And I have two basic themes to my print editions. The metamorphosis is a metamorphosis between birds or winged creatures and aircraft that relate to the birds. For example, a raven morphing into the SR-71 or an eagle, a raptor morphing into the F-22 raptor. And then I have a second series that I call metaphors, which is kind of a visual storytelling based on the namesake or character of the aircraft. I use a lot of military aircraft, where I use ideas and images that are suggested by the mission or the name of the aircraft to tell a story about that aircraft. And you can see these things on my website.
And what is your website, real quick, so our listeners can go visit it?
It is www.met-studios.com. That's met-studios.com.
Okay, now let's talk about your artwork. Your aviation artwork, it has gained some notoriety within the military. Is that not true?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. Where have some of your paintings ended up?
They've ended up in a lot of private collections and corporate offices. I have a couple paintings in the Air Force Art Collection and public buildings around the world, and especially a lot of military installations.
Well, that's really interesting. And obviously, you are an accomplished artist with a very credible background in illustration and art and science. But I want to know more about how you connect intelligent design and the arts through your work. First of all, I guess, what is your view on intelligent design and origins? Where are you coming from on those issues?
Well, I'm in agreement with ID's basic principle, or their basic proposition, that life appears to be the result of some intelligent activity, as opposed to the evolutionary view, where life is just the product of random material processes that didn't have it in mind. So my view is definitely in line with ID.
So what you're telling me is that you took all the courses to get a bachelor's in science and zoology from Colorado State University. Then you went and you got, you know, a degree in medical illustration, and none of that persuaded you that we're just the result of random chance mutations acted upon by unguided selection. Why don't you think that that's a compelling explanation?
Well, actually, when I went through school, I really didn't question the evolutionary view.
Oh.
I went through school taking all the classes in evolution and comparative anatomy and, you know, all the biology courses you had to take, including a whole semester or a quarter of evolution. And at the time, I didn't discern any problem with it. I just bought into it, just like most students do. I didn't have any real reason at the time to question it. It wasn't until I got out of college and I started thinking about the subject matter, especially when I got into doing the birds and the airplanes. It was this machine living system analogy. It was looking at birds and looking at airplanes and seeing all these structural and functional similarities and going, well, I know the machine is designed. Why is it that evolutionary biology is telling us that the bird is not designed?
Mm.
And then I started picking up some books and reading, and before I knew it, I was really into this. And I mean, I was reading everything I could read. This was the early 80s, and you know, I read Phil Johnson stuff, and I think the book that really got me started was a book by A.E. Wilder Smith called The Creation of Life, A Cybernetic Approach to Evolution. And in that book, he was talking about the structure of DNA and the coded instructions in it, and I thought, yeah, coded instructions, that doesn't come about by chance chemical reactions. There's something going on here.
Mm.
And that's what really made me start thinking about it. And when I looked at my birds and my airplane, the human body, the incredible design of the human body, I said, this is not the result of random chance. There's got to have been an incredibly huge creative thought behind all of this before it came about. And then I started looking at my own artistic process, and this is probably what really convinced me on an experiential level, is that when I look at a blank canvas and I'm ready to start a painting, I've got to do two things. First, I've got to get something in mind. I've got to visualize in my mind's eye what it is I want to paint. And then I've got to have some means of production. I've got to have hands and tools and paint and all those kind of elements to bring those together and organize all these components into the object I want to create. And so it's this creative process, you know, first the concept in your head, in your mind's eye, and then the action of actually producing the thing.
Mm.
That's the creative process. And I looked at that and I said, you know, every object we look at around us in our environment came about because there was a thought in somebody's mind, an engineer or an artist or architect thought of what they wanted to produce, and then they produced it. Now, why can't we take that same logical experiential process and apply that to the origin of life?
Mm. Wow, Jody, that is such a compelling argument for design, because I know that, you know, many scientists who support intelligent design use the same, you know, experience-based argument. And here we have someone who is a designer of art and who has studied both human design machines and natural machines and realizing the connection between the two. That is very fascinating and very compelling. I really encourage our listeners to go check out Jody's work at her studio website, which is, as she said, it's metmet-studios.com. And you can see some wonderful art she has there, including this painting of a hawk, is it, turning into an SR-71 Blackbird? Is that right?
It's a raven that turns into the SR-71 Blackbird.
Okay. And there's a number of similar paintings as well you can see on her website. Unfortunately, I'm looking at these, and they say that that some of these are sold out. But these are really spectacular just to look at. Maybe just one last question here, or a couple last questions for you, Jody. You have gotten involved with this new website called idarts.org. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that website and what you think about it.
How I got involved with the ID Arts was through Dennis Wagner, who contacted me from Access Research Network. And I think the whole idea of the ID Arts sort of came out of our conversations, and he had been talking with other artists and people who are in the creative fields, and he's really the one who hatched the idea for it and put it together, and he's asked me to contribute things to it, and it just seemed like the perfect forum to start talking about ID from the standpoint of the creative effort.
Great. So I would recommend that our listeners go visit idarts.org. And actually, I'm looking at it right now, and there's our podcast with Dennis Wagner recently are listed on the website. So I hope that this podcast will be listed on there soon as well. Jody, is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners as they are thinking about intelligent design and the arts, and maybe some advice you have as an artist?
Yeah, I think what's so important about all of this is that so much of what we're doing with ID up to this point has kind of shadowed science, in the sense that ID is focused mainly on the kind of efforts science itself is involved with, which is describing the structure of the universe and living organisms and explaining how things work. And science is very good at describing structure and explaining how things work. But doing that is not the same as explaining how something came into existence. And if you want to describe how something comes into existence, then you have to appeal to the experience that we know as the creative process. And I think there's just a wide open opportunity here for exploring the process of human creativity as a plausible analogy to the process of intelligent design and the origin of life. You know, I don't know that we're ever going to know exactly how life came into existence, but I think the firsthand experience and understanding of the creative process is a powerful evidence for ID, and I'm not sure how the Darwinists can refute this argument, because it's not just an argument, it's a demonstration. So, you know, I think basically the connection will come from an exploration of the creative process to begin with. And then it'll move on to probably more things like the intangible effects that the arts have on the human spirit, why we respond to visual art, performance arts, music, etc. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay, well, that's really wonderful, Jody. This has been a very enlightening podcast for me. As listeners know, I'm an arts ignoramus. I don't know much about the arts, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm learning a lot from talking to artists such as yourself about how the creative process works, because that's something, as far as arts go, that I'm not very familiar with. So, in any case, thank you so much for being on our show.
You're welcome, Casey.
Okay, well, this is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Once again, broadcasting from Seattle, Washington. Stay tuned for more podcasts on idthefuture.com. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.